Well, Hare Krishna, everyone. It's very nice to be back in New Ramanreti, which is, at least in my travels, I think it's one of the biggest and one of the most successful communities in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So everyone gets the credit for that here, from the top to the bottom, the big and the small, your managers and the general devotees, and even the kids, Key. The kids are the life and soul of your community, and they are our future. In years to come, when all of us pass on, it will be these children who carry on the torch, the Olympic torch, the Krishna conscious torch of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. So first and foremost, we have to give them a taste for the holy name, because that is the very foundation of our movement, and they're doing quite well. You should give them a big round of applause for enthusiasm. How long do I have? No, I see some pretty hungry faces out there. Okay. While I'm speaking, if you get hungry or you get bored, I won't be offended. You can all go out and have prasadam. Okay. We're speaking from the seventh canto, one of Prabhupada's favorite cantos. Actually, most of his lectures came from the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, so like father, like son. Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, text number 11. So because it's not on the board and time is of essence, I'll just chant the verse myself. First we'll invoke all auspiciousness. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Prahlad Uvacha Parashvaschet Yashad Graha Punsham Yan Mayaya Krita Vino Hita Diyam Drishtash Tashmai Bhagavate Namaha. Shri Prahlad Para. Oh, you do have it on the board. An enemy. Shva. A kinsman or friend. Cha. Also. Iti. Thus. Asadgraha. Material conception of life. Pumsham, of persons, yet, of whom, mayaya, by the external energy, krita, created, vimohita, bewildered, diyam, of those whose intelligence, Dishta, practically experienced. Tasmai, unto him. Bhagavate, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Translation. Sri Prahlad Maharaj replied, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose external energy has created the distinctions of my friend and my enemy by deluding the intelligence of men. Indeed, I am now actually experiencing this, although I have previously heard of it from authoritative sources. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5.18, Vidya Vinaya Shampane Brahmani Ghavi Hashtini Shuni Chaiva Shapake Cha Pandita Shamadarshanaha. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, an outcast. Pandita, those who are actually learned, the equal poised, advanced devotees, who have full knowledge of everything, do not see any living entity as enemy or friend. Instead, with broader vision, they see that everyone is part of Krishna, as confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivara Swipaya Krishnara Nityadas. Every living entity, being part of the Supreme Lord, is meant to serve the Lord, just as every part of the body is meant to serve the whole body. As servants of the Supreme Lord, all living entities are one, but a Vaishnava, because of his natural humility, addresses every other living being as Prabhu. A Vaishnava sees other servants to be so advanced that he has much to learn from them. Thus he accepts all other devotees of the Lord as Prabhus, masters. Although everyone is a servant of the Lord, one Vaishnava servant, because of humility, sees another servant as his master. Understanding of the master begins from understanding of the spiritual master. Yasha prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasha prasadan lagiti gutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Translation again. Prahlad Maharaj replied, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose external energy has created the distinctions of my friend and my enemy by deluding the intelligence of men. Indeed, I am now actually experiencing this, although I have previously heard of it from authoritative sources. Om Agyan Timirandasya Ganangana Shilakaya Chuksuri Militam Janatas Mai Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishnam Shtapitam Hinabhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadantishva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shyadvaita Gadadhar Shivasari Go Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhube Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo. Om Am Hrim Shrom Om Farom Tataka Hataka Keshikadalak Purikulochana Bhadharaka Nakash Parshadava Singha Namoshtate. O my Lord, O Transcendental Lion, I offer my obeisances to you along with Mother Lakshmi, sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes moving on foot. Your mane hairs glow with a wonderful brilliance. Your glance and the touch of your nails are both the source of auspiciousness." At this Sunday feast program, the speaker is generally allowed to choose his own topic. And of course, in Krishna consciousness, there are many topics, unlimited transcendental topics, to choose from, but I thought that today it might be good to go back to basics, so to speak, to lecture on a very common but essential theme in Krishna consciousness, and that is chanting Hare Krishna, which we were just doing. Actually, chanting Hare Krishna is the basic activity in devotional service. Mahaprabhu encourages us to eventually wind down all our other activities gradually to kirtanad, kirtaniyad sada hari, he says, as Prabhupada translates that line of the Trinada piece in each verse, to chant 24 hours a day, if we could. One time my god sister Malati was at the hospital in Bombay, and she had jaundice, I believe, hepatitis, and Prabhupada went to see her. She was sitting up in her bed when he walked in, and she was surprised, and she was chanting japa, and she, first thing, she apologized to Prabhupada. "Prabhupada, I didn't do any service today. I just chanted Hare Krishna." Prabhupada said, "No, that is the goal. Because you Western boys or girls are so restless, I have to think of so many engagements for you." But one day, it will be that when we're old, when we look forward to old age, that we can just sit and chant. Prabhupada writes in the purport in the Bhagavatam that he established the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. And one idea of that was so that in old age, the members of this movement could retire to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna. So we all look forward to that. So that's the basic activity. We're sadhakas, we're practicing the chanting now. And it's the very foundation of our Krishna consciousness. And sometimes we have to look back and see if the foundation needs some repair work. You know, we did this program last night at Dharmamrita Prabhu's house, and he was telling me in anticipation of the program and the kirtan that we would be having, he redid the foundation of his home. He spent $1,000 for one kirtan. That's a good investment. And he said, had he not put that new foundation in, the whole walls would have been crumbling down. So sometimes we have to repair, or we have to give strength again to the foundation, but we're speaking about another type of repair here, that we have to see if we're chanting purely to get the maximum result. As we know, there's offensive chanting, there's the clearing stage, and there's a shuddhanam, where we're chanting without offenses. So we have to sometimes analyze where we're at so we know what's the next step and how far we have to go. We can't just chant. And this is buddhi yoga. We have to use our intelligence and be analytical. Where am I now on the path back home, back to Godhead? Am I at step 1, 2, or 3? So we can feel confident, yes, I've made some advancement, I've gone to step 2, or whatever. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha tata bhajana kriya anata nivritti shat. This is the first half. Gaining some faith by associating with devotees, taking up bhajana kriya, the regulative principles, getting initiated, serving my spiritual master, accomplishing something on his behalf, purifying the heart, and after a lifetime of a devotional service, some steadiness is coming, then some ruchi, some actual taste. We let go of the material attachments in favor of the taste we get by chanting Hare Krishna and serving the holy name. Then maybe some bhava comes, a little tear finally comes from the eye as when we chant, and maybe some prema. So where are we? We have to analyze where we're at. But wherever we're at, we have to chant the holy name purely. It's not just by repeating the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama Hare. It's a question of the heart, actually. I said today to the second generation, and I've said it many times because it's one of my favorite pastimes of Prabhupada, that one guest asked Prabhupada, what is the meaning of this mantra you're chanting over and over? What is it? And Prabhupada could have given the standard answer. Well, not standard, but as he explained it authoritatively. What is this chanting? He always used to say, my dear Lord, my dear energy of the Lord, Srimati Radhika, please engage me in your devotional service again. It's not really a mantra, because a mantra has a bij, like klim, shom, aing. In order to be effective, a mantra has a seed from which the potency comes. So before the line comes, you say the bij. But there's no bij. We don't say om, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's more like a prayer, and a prayer is from the heart. So how did Prabhupada explain to that boy? He gave a very special answer. He said, what does it mean, chanting Hare Krishna? It means, my friend, my friend, my friend. We're calling on the mercy of the Lord. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and fix me as an atom at your lotus feet. So it's important to discuss this chanting again and again. Not we just chant, but we discuss how to chant purely. Just like if you're eating food, if the fire of digestion is not strong, no matter how much food you eat, the nourishment's not going to be distributed throughout the body. But if you have good digestion, Ayurveda is all about the fire of digestion, stoking the fire, so to speak, getting the fire working again. If you have good digestion, then when you eat, the food is distributed nicely throughout the body. I recently visited one Ayurvedic doctor, and he was a bit sleepy when I came in. He's a very good Ayurvedic doctor, but I think he was had seen many patients that day. So he took my hand. He said, what is your age? I said, I'm almost 60. He said, oh, you have the digestion of an 18-year-old boy. And he said, in modern terms, that means you have a tiger in your tank. Hare Krishna. So, in the same way, we have to chant in such a way that we'll get the full benefit of the chanting. Because Prabhupada said there's many benefits from chanting Hare Krishna. Even a fallen person can chant Haram, Haram, which in Islam means, how horrible, how horrible. I'm being killed by a boar hunting in the forest. But Haram, because it's two syllables that we find in the Maha Mantra, he gets purified. He gets so much benefit being killed, saying even unconsciously the name of the Lord. And the holy names are powerful enough to uproot those strong material desires which have kept us bound to material existence, like ropes tied to a stake. For life after life after life, it unleashes those desires. But the ultimate benefit of chanting Hare Krishna is explained to us by the great chanter, the greatest chanter of the holy names, Haridas Thakur, Namacharya. He told the assembly, the august assembly of brahmanas, no, the ultimate benefit is that by chanting you get prema. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. This exalted state of viparlamba bhava, or separation from Krishna, this is the goal of chanting the holy names. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, upon chanting Hare Krishna, if you don't experience some of these symptoms, then there's something wrong with the chanting. Not wrong, but it's not perfect. No one's wrong in chanting. You can only be right, absolutely right, no matter how you chant. But the full benefit has to be pure chanting. So, what is one of the most important ingredients in pure chanting? Just like last night, we had the program on one little girl. She had, we gave her a birthday cake. It was her 12th birthday, and some sweet devotee made her a nice cake. So, there's many ingredients in the cake, but what's one of the more important ingredients in the cake? The sugar. You can imagine if you had a beautiful cake, and it looked so nice, it was, like the icing was this thick, 3 inches thick, and it was soft, like in Russia they call them cakes, they call them torts, but I'm never really satisfied because I grew up in America and we have apple pie and ice cream and cake. They don't know how to make a cake. But if you have a real cake, if you don't have the sugar in it, so what is, perhaps you could say, I'm taking an educated guess here, what could be the most important ingredient in our chanting? Our humility. What does humility have to do with chanting? Well, according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it has everything to do with chanting. As we know, the famous verse, Trinadapi Sanichana Toyapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniyad Sahi. That one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, Mahaprabhu says, one can chant constantly. And I was researching this for my own purification and understanding in chanting, and I discovered actually it's one of the most important verses in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. In fact, most of you probably know the wonderful story that Mula Prakriti Mataji related in that recent book that was put out. But one time Prabhupada was in his chemical laboratory, because as a grihastha he worked in that industry, making pharmaceutical business. And he was working, mixing all the different types of whatever, chemicals. And Dr. O.B.L. Kapoor, who was a godbrother of Prabhupada, I actually forget his initiated name, because most of his books say O.B.L. Kapoor, but he stopped by for a visit. He said, "Goodbye. How are you doing? What's going on down there in the laboratory?" And Prabhupada, our Prabhupada, Abhai Charan, he said, "Oh, I have just discovered the formula for love of God." And his godbrother went, "Wow, I'm coming right down." So he came down the stairs, and there was Prabhupada, you know, with all these different things you mix the pharmaceutical things with, the pharmacy stuff. And O.B.L. Kapoor said, "So, I mean, here, I've got a paper and pen. What is it? Some potassium mixed with a little of this or that? Or, you know, I don't know anything about pharmaceutical stuff, right? I failed in math and chemistry." So all those things. Here, quick, which ingredients and how much of each? And Prabhupada said, "Well, I know the formula, but I don't know how to apply it." So Dr. Kapoor said, "That's all right, just give me the formula for something happen. It's so rare that you have a formula, we can drink it and have love of God. What is the formula? Hurry!" So Prabhupada said, "Okay, you write it down, but it's really hard to apply." So, "Okay, what is it? How much potassium?" Prabhupada said, "Here it is. Trinadapi sunichana, torapi sahishnana, amanina, manadena, kirtani yadsana hari." This is the formula for love of God. But Prabhupada, in his humility, he said, "I don't know how to apply it." But again, that verse, Trinadapi sunichana, that is one of the most important verses in our tradition. And besides being part of Lord Chaitanya's immortal Shikshasukam prayers, we find Lord Chaitanya personally instructing his devotees in this verse at least two times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The first time we find that verse, Trinadapi sunichana, is in Adi Lila chapter 17. After Lord Chaitanya takes some prasadam prepared by a devotee called Sukhvanvara Brahmachari, he calls all the devotees over, just like in Kirtan, we were calling all the devotees, "Come on, let's get together and chant Hare Krishna. You're all at the far end of the temple room. Let's get together and chant Hare Krishna." So Mahaprabhu called all the devotees together, and he instructed them about that famous shloka from the Brihad Narayan Purana, "Haryanam, Haryanam, Haryanam, eva kevalam, kolo nashteva, nashteva, nashteva." He stressed that particular shloka because he was the Yuga avatar and he was introducing the Yuga Dharma, which is chanting Hare Krishna, so he quoted from Shastra. God himself quotes from his own Shastra. So, part of his instructions, after he'd finished, which towards the end, you'll see there in chapter 17, he instructs the devotees. Trinadapi sunichana, torapi shahishana, amanina, manidina, kirtani and sadahari. It's like, now it's a verse, but then he was just speaking. He was instructing them. "My dear devotees, I want you all to chant the holy name of the Lord in a very humble state of mind. I want you to feel yourself lower than a straw on the street. And I want you also to be more tolerant than a tree. I want all of you to be devoid of a sense of false prestige. And I want all of you to be ready to offer respects to everyone else. Now, if you do this, I promise you, you'll be able to chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day." That was just part of his instructions. Then afterwards, he said, "Udva baha bahu kari kahori shuna sharva loka namasute ghantipara kunta ishlok." "Raising my hands," Mahaprabhu said, "I declare, to everyone please hear me, string this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance." of Mahaprabhu's instructions. This is very important. We should hear, we should open our hearts, and these instructions should be etched in our hearts. That's God speaking. When any important person comes into assembly, everyone listens to what he has to say. If President Bush were to come here today and stand up, nobody would listen to him. Because they're not very important. I hope there's no CIA members here. But anyway, if our GBC Shesha Prabhu walked in and said, I have something to say. Sir, yes, sir. What is it? So who's the most important person? Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana. When he walks in the room, or when his words are repeated by the speaker, all our ears should be open and we should absorb. So what does he say? Raising my hand, I declare, everyone please hear me, he said. String that verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he paraphrased that. He said this verse, Trinada Pisanichana, he said we should wear it like a garland around our mind. A garland is a very wonderful thing. Prabhupada told us in Detroit, he said, the only opulence left in Kali Yuga is flowers. And especially if you get a garland worn by Sri Sri Radha or Shamasundra, that garland's very special. It's part of the process of deity worship, is to wear the garlands worn by the Lord. And you can get them, and sometimes you see devotees, they make them a little small, and they put them on their head like that. What are you doing? That looks so funny. Just wear it. No, they're doing the right thing. You can take the garland, just put it around your forehead like that, and your head, and you can wear it like that. Even the men can do it. Because we're following the instructions of Bhaktisiddhanta, to wear this paraphernalia, this devotional paraphernalia, a garland around our mind. And then later in the Antya Lila, if you study carefully, Prabhupada said, we should know these books like a lawyer knows law books. When a lawyer gets up and he has to talk, you know, he has to know so many previous cases and so many details and intricacies in order to win his case. So if you want to win over the hard struggle for material existence, and you want victory in chanting the holy names, you want to go back to Godhead, we have to know these books. And you should know, we should know, that in Antya Lila, this verse is repeated again. It's in his instructions to Raghunath Das Goswami. And those are some of my, that is, I could say, well, I don't know, maybe my favorite part of the Bhagavatam, or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Mahaprabhu, his pastime with Raghunath Das Goswami, such two very important verses he instructs him. Gramya katha na subhe, gramya varta na kahibe, bala na kahibe ara, bala na partibe. Amani manandahana krishna nama shara labhe, braja rada krishna seva, manashe karibe. Do not talk like people in general, or hear what they have to say, the internet. Do not eat very palatable food, nor should you dress very nicely. Do not expect honor, but offer respect to others. Always chant the holy names, and within your mind render service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Those two verses are the essence of our Gaudiya philosophy. They're so important. They were really the only verses that Mahaprabhu said to Raghunath Das Goswami, because when Raghunath Das Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately placed him in the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And he said to Swarup Damodar Goswami, because Swarup Damodar Goswami was the very personal, intimate servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was Lalita in Krishna Lila. So Lalita is the guru of the gopis. So Swarup knew everything about the intricacies. He was the one who brought forth the Radha Bhav of Gauranga. When Mahaprabhu appeared, he had two reasons. As a Yuga avatar, to introduce the chanting, and Krishna wanted to experience the loving sentiments of Radharani. What is the nature of this love? How is it working? What is the sweetness of this love? So the two became one in the personality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and those spiritual emotions were experienced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu primarily in his Antya Lila after his childhood pastimes, after he'd spread the Sankirtan movement all over India, he came back, he retired in Jagannath Puri, and then he accomplished the second purpose of his appearance, to experience the nature of Radharani's love, Radha Bhava. And that was helped by Sri Damodar Goswami, who would sing verses in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, various verses, to bring the ras, or the feelings of love for Krishna, that Radha had out in the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So generally it was Sri Damodar Goswami who was instructing Raghunath Das. But on this occasion, Raghunath Das got some personal instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can understand how he was hankering for that. All of us too would like to have some personal instructions from our spiritual master. We have the general instruction, but we consider ourselves particularly blessed if our spiritual master gives us a particular service that we can make our lifetime service, mission. Just like Prabhupada, he received the general instructions in class, but what did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tell him? If you ever get money, print books. He said, in this temple, I forget the temple in Calcutta, Bhag Bazar Temple. He said, I would sell all the marble in this new temple if I could, because at that time the disciples were fighting over the rooms, quarreling. Which room then? The preaching spirit was going down. I would sell all the marble, if I could now, of this temple, just to buy a printing press to print books. And he told Prabhupada from the very beginning, you look like an educated gentleman, why don't you preach Krishna consciousness in English-speaking language? So Prabhupada took those few sentences, preach in English-speaking language, you'd ever get money to print books, and the rest of his life was based on those instructions. So it's nice if you can get some instructions from your guru like that, that you can think about for your whole life, the general and the personal. It makes it very nice. So these were instructions to Raghunath, but to all of us as well, because we're not, although we may not be sannyasis, the thread of renunciation runs through our life, our entire lives. Even grihastras are meant to be renounced in the sense that they're not living like grihamedis, they're grihastras, it's an ashram where there's mind control and sense control, and they give dhan. They give charity. It hurts to give that hard-earned money away. You want to keep it and utilize it and have it there for the future. But householders remain renounced by giving some dhan, by giving some charity. Actually, they support all the other ashrams. They support the brahmacharis in Vedic culture. They support the vanaprasas. They support the sannyasis. They have that burden of love upon them. And they give. And when you give something in Krishna consciousness, because we're always giving gifts, it should pinch a little bit. It should hurt a little bit. You should give. Love means that you give something significant. When we come to give presents to the deities, we give something valuable, Nectar of Devotion says. So the grihasas would give for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave a few instructions to Raghunath Das Goswami. And then, after those instructions, his last instruction was Trinadapi Sanichana Todapi Shahishnana Manina Manineke. And then he embraced him. So again, that's the essence of this verse is that we should chant in a humble state of mind. We should be, in other words, what is the opposite of humility? Is pride. There's two sides to the coin, the heads and the tail. So there's humility, and on the other side, there's pride. So you have to get rid of the pride in order to be humble. So what are we proud of? In order to develop humility in chanting Hare Krishna so we get the most result, what are we proud of? Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the most beautiful of them all? You are. Very intelligent reflection. Thank you very much. We can be proud of our bodies. That's the problem. All the bodies are the same. They're all made of earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, false ego. But because one's shaped a little bit, you know, an inch or two here or there, you know, and the one's a little different color and the hair is a little softer, or this one's whatever. There's a different shape. We think, oh, that one's beautiful and that one's not. What is this? This is maya, illusion. We're thinking like that, the body. We're proud of the body. What is the body? The body is a sign of our independence from Krishna. It's like when you fall down in the prison house of material existence, you get a material body. You should rather think of it like you're wearing the stripes that the prisoners used to wear in the old days. You know, they had the black and white stripes. If they escaped from prison, they could identify them. They weren't proud of that. They were to get rid of that as far as possible and put on some civilian clothes. But we're looking at the stripes and thinking, yes, beautiful. If only everyone else could appreciate. This is the problem. Maya means that which is not. We're proud of something we shouldn't be proud of. We've said many times in our communities, somehow we celebrate the birthdays, but the real birthday is the day of initiation. There's one lecture of Prabhupada. Deathlessness begins at the moment of initiation. That's our real, our second birth. We should really, when we celebrate our birthdays, we shouldn't celebrate our birth into ignorance. All living entities are born into ignorance, overcome by the desires of something and hatred. I can't remember the exact verse in the Gita. Oh. I'm celebrating today. I've been born into ignorance 25 years ago. No, the day you get initiation, then you should celebrate back home, back to Godhead. So we don't want to be proud of our body. People are proud of their possessions. Pum shastriya mituni bhavam tayor mikto hridaya grantam aho aho gicceptu vichaya janashi mohoyam ahamameti. I missed a syllable there. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. Based on this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and the female, one becomes attracted to his body, to his wife, to the husband, to the children, to the house, to the household paraphernalia, to the village, to the country, to the universe, as I, me, and mine. Thus one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So we can be attached, proud of our possessions, my this and my that. Even a beggar can be proud of his penny. Or we can be proud of our deeds. Yes, what I have done as a devotee. What I have accomplished as a devotee. And because devotees generally live a simple life, we don't have a surplus of millionaires in our movement. I think that perhaps the greatest problem we have is being proud of our achievements in devotional service. I think this is what Mahaprabhu means when he says, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavicham vaja gadisha kamae mama janmani janmani ishwara bhavatad bhaktiya haiti kitoye. I have no desire for opulent wealth. I have no desire for beautiful ladies. I don't want any name or fame or prestige. All that I want is that I might have your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. So we've seen that transcendentalists can give up material opulence, they can give up the opposite sex, but often it's very hard to give up the attachment for being known as a famous transcendentalist. I know when I was at Kumbh Mela some years ago, I was really impressed when I first got to the first day of the renunciation of some of those sadhus. They were just living with the bare necessities. And of course, being renunciates, they didn't have any association with the opposite sex. They were freed from that, and that's something amazing. To be freed from lust, because lust only Arjuna, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy in this world. But then later on, I saw them on parade on the big elephants, you know, going down, and they were, yes, you know, and I said, wait a minute. They renounce women, they renounce money, but they seem to be enjoying the fact that they're very famous. Then I went to one of their lectures, and it was a big Shankaracharya, and a follower of Shankaracharya. He was skinny, long hair, and austere, and he was powerful. And he was speaking about Krishna. And he was speaking so nicely about Krishna. Bal Krishna, baby Krishna, how cute he is, and how he's doing this and that, and teasing the gopis, and then some of the demon pastimes, bringing down Trinivarta, and then getting bound by the ropes of Mother Yasoda. And then he was speaking so nicely. Then he said, Tatvamashmi, thou art that Krishna. And I went, oh my God, I'm getting out of here. I had to go bathe and jump in the Triveni and wash up. So like that, he's very proud. So this is something that we have to deal with. Pride. Pride of our, I guess, what we've done, what we think we've done. Raghunath Das Goswami says, Patishtasya drishta svapacha ramani me hude natet. O mind, a shameless, low-born prostitute who eats dog meat, this is very graphic, is dancing in my heart in the form of a desire for fame. How can pure love for Krishna ever find a place in my heart? Of course, he's the greatest devotee, but he's teaching us. The great devotees teach us. So, we have to always remind ourselves that we can't take credit for anything we've done or accomplished. Actually, how are we able to do it then? Because we're instruments in the hands of Guru and Krishna. We want to make advancement. We want to become advanced devotees, but not so that we'll become famous, so that we can be a viable instrument in the hands of Guru and Krishna to execute the mission of spreading the Sankirtan movement all over the world. Just like our ladies will say, that when they're home or if they're preparing the Sunday feast, it's very frustrating to cut the vegetables with a dull knife. It's just really hard work. But if the knife is very sharp, very easy. So if we're advanced, if our heart is cleansed of material desires and we have some attachment to chanting Hare Krishna, then our Gurudev can use us very nicely in the mission of Krishna consciousness. We can be a valuable instrument in the service of Guru in spreading the Sankirtan movement. This is why we want to be advanced in Krishna consciousness. Tajnat tvam utishtaya shola bhashva. Krishna says in Gita, therefore get up, Arjuna. Prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. So there's a lot of work to be done. One time Prabhupada said to the GBC, I have a plan to take over the world in 12 days. I think 18 days, like the Battle of Kurukshetra. Wow, Prabhupada, what's the plan? Prabhupada said, but you're not ready yet. One time, Prabhupada was lecturing in New Mayapur on the lawn outside the castle. And he was speaking how a devotee sees Krishna everywhere. And then he asked for questions. And I raised my hand and I said, Śrīla Prabhupāda, you say that the devotee sees Krishna everywhere. But in the Shikshasakam prayers, Lord Chaitanya, who's in the mood of a devotee, is said that he's feeling so much separation from Krishna. So it appears to be contradictory. How can one see Krishna but at the same time feel separation from Krishna? I thought it was a very intelligent question. So Prabhupada thought for a minute, he looked me straight in the eyes. I had to look down, I was embarrassed. He said, you will understand the answer to that question when you are very advanced. Not now. I still don't understand. So Prabhupada now. So Prabhupada said he could take the world, but he didn't have the instruments to prepare the feast. He's waiting for us. Actually, this movement could spread like wildfire, but we've inherited the legacy of so many wonderful Vaishnavas. If you think of our heritage, who are our heroes? Prabhupada, Bhakti Sanana Saraswati, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, Baladev Bidyabhushana, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu, Srinivas Acharya, Six Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya, Radha Krishna. And we've inherited the legacy from them, like Prabhupada said one time. Lord Chaitanya, or rather, Lord Ramachandra, he conquered Lanka with monkeys and bears. So I am also conquering the world with my disciples. But we don't want to be monkeys and bears our whole life. Children are cute, but we don't want them to be little children forever. We want them to grow up and be mature Vaishnavis and come on the Polish tour and dance their Bharatanatyam. We expect our children to grow up. It would be a little weird if they stayed 5 years old your whole life. Well, they're going to grow up from the father. The best gift we can give our spiritual master is our progress in Krishna consciousness, actually. We give, symbolically, on his Vyasa Puja, we give him flowers and we give him a nice feast. But this is meant to be symbolic of our devotion. The best thing we can give Guru is to relinquish the material desires, let go of our independence from Krishna, and embrace Guru and Krishna's lotus feet, embrace their service, and become full of transcendental qualities, which they can use in their service of spreading the movement. Tatikshava karunika shuridam shavadehinam ajatashatava shanta shadava shadabhushanaha. When you look at a devotee, what you see a repository of all beautiful qualities. Prabhupada was walking across the street in London, and one policeman grabbed Shyam Sundar Prabhu, his secretary, and said, "Look, your teacher's glowing like the sun." So the people, they should, when they come in contact with a Vaishnava, they should think, this is something special. I can't put my finger on it, but this is something, there's something special here. Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha. From that comes Bhajana Kriya Nata Visyat. From that association with the devotees, they themselves become determined. I want to be like them. I'm tired of being depressed and in stress and anxiety and unhappy. I want to be like these people who have happy faces, whose faces are shining with joy, who live a pure life, who are going back home, back to Godhead, enough of this material existence. Where does that conviction come? It comes from associating with devotees who possess transcendental qualities. Such devotees are rare. Chanaka Pandit says, you'll not find a pearl on the head of every elephant. You won't find rubies in every mountain. You won't find sandalwood trees in Alachua. And you will not find genuine sadhus in every birth. If you find any of those things, he said, grab them and take. So we want to become advanced so Gurudev can engage us nicely in what? Preaching Krishna consciousness. We have to be the instruments. So we have to overcome very quickly this pride. And remember that it's by the mercy of our spiritual master we're able to do anything or everything in Krishna consciousness. So how do we develop that mood? Well, we look towards advanced devotees who have developed that, like Brahma. He's the Adi Guru. Actually, Krishna's the Adi Guru. But Brahma's his first disciple. He was humble. He's the head of our Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava, Brahma Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya. Tasmin shva vikrama midan shrijato pite to, he says, I pray to engage in the Lord's service and the creation of the material world and not to be materially affected by my work. Thus I may be able to give up the false prestige of being the creator. This was the challenge for Brahma. Look what he accomplished. If you study the world around us, we can appreciate what he put together. He's the engineer of this universe. Even the most intelligent men in science are baffled by the simple aspects of this creation. They've only discovered the tip of the iceberg. And all that we see here took four heads, four big heads, to create it. And it's something quite amazing, but he doesn't want to take any credit. Just like Prabhupada in Paris. Parijata, maybe she remembers. We told Prabhupada, we asked Prabhupada, we glorified Prabhupada. And he also said, Prabhupada, you've done so much spreading this movement. And he blushed. He literally blushed. His cheeks went pink and he looked down. He said, no, no. It is all the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. So we have to follow in the footsteps of such devotees. In the Brahma Vimoha Lila, after Brahma stole of Krishna's cows and boys, then he witnessed how the Lord himself expanded as the cows and the boys, and he felt very, very humble. Jananta eva janantu kim bhaktya name prabhu. He said there are people who say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them think that way. As far as I am concerned, I do not have to wish to speak very much about this matter. Oh my Lord, let me say this much. As far as your opulences are concerned, they are beyond the reach of my mind, my body, and my words. So Brahma warns us not to take credit for any success we may do. Everything is the mercy of the Lord. We should never, otherwise, punar mushtika bhav. We risk the danger of again becoming a mouse. There was a little mouse. How many times have you heard this story? There was a little mouse, squeak, squeak, squeak. You have to tell it in a certain way like it's new. There was a mouse, squeak, squeak, squeak. And there was a cat in the neighborhood. So this mouse had a little booty, a little intelligence. He thought, let me go to Jogi Ji. I'll go to Jogi, and yogis have mystic powers, and I'll ask him to turn me into a cat. And the cat won't bother me anymore. Sir, he went to the yogi, please turn me into a cat. Yes? Meow. Then, in due course of time, one dog came. And dogs and cats are natural enemies, so dogs like to chase cats. So that poor cat, he was running in circles around the town. The dog was chasing him. And he came to the yogi. He said, quick, please, kindly sir, turn me into a dog. And the dog ran with his tail between his legs out of the town. And that dog thought, now everything's okay. Suddenly, one Bengali tiger, because they're the royal tiger of Bengal, he came to town. I always wondered how a tiger came to town. Anyway, then a tiger's coming to town. There's a village. So then, the tiger saw this dog, and he thought, sarira vidya jaya pindaya tahita jifale visaya sagare. So going to chase the dog. And the dog very quickly, he went to the jogi, because Prabhupada would say jogi. The Bengali, they're the wiser jays. Jogi. Quick, come here, tiger. Okay. And the tiger, he was looking at the yogi thinking, he's a little skinny, but he'll be nice and crunchy. So the yogi could understand how this tiger, so he said, you rascal, punar mushtika bhav, again become a mouse. Squeak, squeak, squeak. So we are what we are, only by the mercy of Guru. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is running behind. He said, I'm running behind you, Gurudev. Sharing Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So this is the trick. This is the art of devotional service, to be able to advance and to be able to accomplish a lot, but to remain humble. This is the art. How to do it? Remember Gurudev at least three times a day. Vishwanath Chakrabarityaga. Dayam Stivam Vishastishan Pande Guru. At least three times. Give credit where credit is due. The Lord doesn't actually want to see any pride in his devotees. He wants them to advance, so sometimes he makes arrangements to remove it, just like with Arjuna. Of course, these are great personalities, but they're put into illusion to teach us a lesson. Once, after the battle of Kurukshetra had been fought and won, Krishna had returned to the spiritual world, the mighty Arjuna was escorting some cowherd girls through a forest with all his divine weapons, and they were attacked by a group of forest dwellers with sticks, and they were throwing stones, and throwing, with their sticks. But you know what? They defeated Arjuna and all his divine weapons. And those cowherd girls, the gopis, they were gopis, they were kidnapped by those forest dwellers. Well, what's going on here? Previous Arjuna, he could fight all the Kaurava warriors, And suddenly he found that all his powers were gone. Actually, these powers were required for fighting the battle of Kurukshetra because Krishna was killing so many demons. And some of them were more powerful than Arjuna. So Krishna arranged that Arjuna would get these fabulous weapons. I think he got his Gandiva bow from Lord Shiva after defeating him in battle. He got his chariot, his quiver, and his inexhaustible arrows. That would be, wow. You have a little pack of arrows, and you just, they're always there. A modern day example, you have your, what do they call that? The cartridge you put in your 38. It's got 9, right? But inexhaustible gun, or anyway. So his quiver, he got that from Agni. But when those powers were no longer required, Krishna took them away because he wants his devotee to remain meek and humble. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. According to Kunti, sometimes opulences can be a source of trouble. Janmash varyashuta shribir ere mana madapumam navihat yabibatum vai tam akinshana gotaram. My Lord, you can be easily approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, bodily beauty, they cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So how are we approaching Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama. So you can approach Krishna with opulence. It doesn't mean that you have to give everything away and live like a beggar. No. Yukta Vairagya means, real renunciation means to see everything as belonging to Krishna and use it in his service. We know the story. People walking down the street, there's a gold coin. The Kami picks it up. Bah! I can buy something for my girlfriend. The impersonalist walks by. Oh, it's Maya. He walked on the other side of the street. The devotee picks it up. Ah, I can buy something nice for Radha Shyam Sundar. So you can be rich, but it's a question of yukta vairagya, realizing that everything belongs to Krishna, even this body. I don't have a right to utilize this body for my own sense gratification. No. Sanatana Goswami was going to commit suicide because he had these sores all over his body from walking through a forest and drinking a contaminated water. And Mahaprabhu would come every day and embrace him, and the sores would ooze under the divine body of Mahaprabhu. Sanatana was feeling so fallen. Oh, I'm going to give up this body under the wheels of the Ratha Yatra chariot. Mahaprabhu found out about that. He came to Sanatana. He said, I know what you want to do. You want to give up your body. You don't have a right to give up that body. It belongs to me. And I have many plans how I'm going to utilize that body in my mission. So don't kill yourself. So we don't have a right to enjoy what is not ours. Did you create this body? Are you maintaining it? Do you ultimately have the power to destroy it and dissolve it? No, it's all being done by God. We have to use everything in His service. So when the Lord's mission was finished, Arjuna's mission was finished, and he took away the... But interestingly enough, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on that pastime that the dacoits were actually Krishna. Who could touch the gopis? Who could touch Sita? Ravana took the Maya Sita. Agni kept her, and he returned her eventually in that fire pastime. So anyway, in conclusion, how can we act in such a way that we don't develop pride, or how can we get rid of pride? Well, one answer is to live a simple life. Ishyavasham idam sarvam yatkinja yagatyam jagat tena tak tena bunjitaha magiraha kashishvedanam. Everything that moves and doesn't move is owned and controlled by the Lord. Therefore, one should take only what is necessary for himself, leaving the rest aside, knowing well to. So the quote is different for the brahmachari, the grihastha, the vanaprastha, and sannyasi, but as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, man's glory lies in his common sense. We should take according to our need, not according to our greed, as Gandhi said. That's one way. Live a simple life. If you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose. I don't need to be proud. It's got a loincloth. And it's torn. Nobody looks at it, thinks they want it. So if you don't have too many material possessions, then you don't have too much to be proud about. When Prabhupada got married, his father, Guru Mohan Day, married into a girl who wasn't very pretty. And Prabhupada later understood why. He didn't get overly attached, and he thanked his father. He became attached to his wife because of her devotional qualities, not her external beauty. So we don't mind if we're deficient in something material. We think, oh, this is a blessing. We get disease, we get sick, we get old and ugly, and we think, finally, now I can really focus on Krishna. Who's going to look at my ugly face anymore? But I can look at the beautiful face of Radha Shyama Sundar. So anything that happens to a devotee, he's considering it his good fortune. So simple living, high thinking, that helps the pride. Another way to get rid of false ego is to serve other devotees. Samsara sharpa dushtanam murchitanam kalo yuge asadham bhagavan nama shrimad vaishnava sevanam. For those who have been bitten by the serpent of Kali, the serpent of samsara in the age of Kali, they'll get relief from the pain by the medicinal herb of asadham bhagavan nama, dancing in kirtan, not being a wallflower. Coming into the middle, and even though I don't want to, I just lift my arms up in the air, hari-bo, 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 dancing, singing, and Srimad Vaishnava Sevanam, serving the Vaishnavas. What kind of service? Menial service. Do something humble, meaning, Prabhu, can I wash your clothes today? What? Can I help you come over tonight and help you with the dishes? What? You need a little extra money for your petrol? Whatever. We can serve the Vaishnavas. When he says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. But one who's the devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. Don't act in such a way to see God. Act in such a way that God will see you. Why did Lord Chaitanya embrace Maharaj Pratapruja in the garden after the Rathiyatra festival? Not because he was a king. Because sannyasis should not associate with kings, because kings are very worldly. Why did he embrace Maharaj Pratapruja after years Maharaj Pratapruja was trying to gain the favor of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Why is it that Mahaprabhu finally accepted him? Because Maharaj Pratapruja did some menial service for God. He was king, but he went down on the ground in front of Jagannath and he took the broom and he swept the dirty street in front of the Lord. Mahaprabhu caught that service out of the corner of his eye. You take one step towards God, he takes 1,000 steps. Who has the credit, the adhikari, to get the embrace of God? We don't. But Maharaj Pratapruja did some little service, and he got the mercy of. So we can serve the Lord, we can serve the devotee. This helps us develop, become free from the false ego. We want people to serve us. Spend most of your time serving others, as our great American president said, Mr. Kennedy. That's not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. He almost had it. Ask not what God can do for you. Ask what you can do for God. So just always be engaged in service. And if somebody wants to serve you, you have to feel very uncomfortable. But you have to let them do it, because otherwise how are they going to get purified? This is also teaching us humility. That Vaishnavas want just, no, not me. Oh, please, oh God. Another excellent means of becoming free from pride and developing humility is to voluntarily put yourself in a position where people see you less than them, not greater than them. That's not in the temple, because in the temple we're taught to glorify everyone else. Vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripasindubhayavacha paditanam bhavane Vaishnava. So where in this world will people look down on you, see you as maybe equal or less, I can tell you, on Sankirtan. There's much to be learned in the streets of Sankirtan. Actually, some devotees, knowing this, they feel more comfortable on the street doing Sankirtan than they do in the temple. It works both ways, actually. They come to the temple, they get inspired, and they go in Sankirtan to preach, and by preaching they become inspired to see the deity, like this, back and forth. But when you're out on Sankirtan, it's hard to be proud, because there's no one offering you Guru Puja out there. Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya. No, it's, hey, get out of the way, buddy. I don't want that. It's a good place to practice humility. Pride causes one to think he's better than others. But as devotees, we're not better than others. Where have we come from? We have crawled out of the thick, fetid mud of material existence a few moments ago. If you consider time, cosmic time, where have we been most of the time? Brahmanda Bhamati Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Bhakti Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. We've been, since time immemorial, we've been transmigrating from one Brahmananda to the next, one universe, one species of life, one body. And a few short years ago, our spiritual master kindly, by his grace alone, convinced us to take a few cautious steps in devotional service. So, we're not better than others, but we are certainly more fortunate than them. That we are. We're more fortunate. Sometimes it's us and them. Us and the car. We're more fortunate than them. We can see the beautiful form of Radhasham Sundar. So we should share our good fortune with them. Lord Chaitanya will purge our heart of all bad qualities, pride, and bestow all good qualities upon us, humility, if we go out and preach the divine command. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to pray like that. When will my compassion for all fallen souls manifest? And with a lowly heart, I'll go out to preach the divine command. So in Sankirtan, you learn many good lessons. You're reminded of the temporary, miserable nature of this world, and you're able to witness the miraculous pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in delivering conditioned souls. You get to see it firsthand. You become renounced from material life, and you become attached to Krishna. So Sankirtan's important, and that type of austerity should be performed even by great souls. Last year I went to Mexico. We went on Harinam in this isolated village outside of Mexico City, and we were having kirtan there and chanting. And then one devotee came up and he said, you know what, Maharaj? Prabhupada came here when he visited Mexico City in 1973, and he did Sankirtan. He chanted Hare Krishna in this same park right where you're standing. So I immediately jumped away from that spot. Should not sit on the Vyasasana of my guru, the sacred place where he preached the divine command. I said, Prabhupada chanted Hare Krishna? He said, right there, right where you were standing. He led a kirtan to all these people in this park. And they were all throwing frisbees, and they had their dogs drinking wine. I said, really, what happened? And then he said, and then Prabhupada, somebody came up just at that moment with a newly printed book in Spanish, Easy Journey to Other Planets. And Prabhupada called the crowd forward, and Prabhupada sold 50 copies of Easy Journey to Other Planets to the crowd. Srila Prabhupada ki. And he signed all the copies. I went, wow. I'd stay here all night and just chant and dance. So this activity of Sankirtan, it's not given up even by great souls, because great souls, they relish the opportunity to serve Lord Chaitanya. When they get their choice of what they want to do, they want to preach. Just like a Sudra likes to work with his hands, a Vaishya likes to milk cows, a Kshatriya likes to go to battle. Brahmins, they like to preach. They like to destroy ignorance and reveal the absolute truth, Sri Krishna. So we like to preach. We should go out and preach because it's very healthy for us. Helps us develop this, one of these most important qualities in devotional service. Humility, by which we can chant and one day see with our spiritual eyes the divine form of Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gokamundi.